Have you ever wondered how Ron Van Dam manages to sound so damn sexy podcast after podcast after podcast? It's simple. No pants. Ever. Pants are for suckers. You are listening to The Ron Van Dam Show. Pants-free podcasting at its finest.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's the Ron Van Dam Show.
Thank you.
Hold on tight, things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing.
Welcome to the program. It is the Ron Van Dam Show. That's me. No, over here. My eyes are up here. Don't stare there. My eyes are up here. How rude. Hope you're doing all right. Here we are again. This is the Friday weekend edition of the program. And what makes it different than the program for the other days? Nothing. Nothing at all. There's nothing different about it. Although it's enjoyable. Happy Mother's Day to all the mothers out there or in here. Hope you have a wonderful day under the circumstances, and I know you will. Enough. Thank you very much. Thank you. For those of you that are joining me on this program for the very first time, where the hell have you been? Seriously, where the hell you been? You don't search anything on Google? Come on, I've been here for like a long time now. Like 7 years doing a podcast, 30 years in broadcast radio. What the hell's wrong with you? What, do you live in a bubble? God, piss me off. Anyway, welcome to the show. It's Mother's Day coming up. We have a few interviews toward the end of the program that involve honoring our mothers, which is something we do. Thank you for your cervix. This has been a wonderful run. Thank you very much. For those of you that are not familiar with the program, you can't just sit there and listen to it for free and expect nothing as far as your responsibility is concerned. Here's what you have to do. Well, let me just sum it up this way.
Ron Van Dam is an experienced talk show host. Mm-hmm. Do not attempt to try this at home.
Never.
Some listeners may experience nausea or vomiting while listening to this show. Please consult with your doctor or psychologist before listening to this program. The Ron Van Dam Show is not intended for listeners who have had a history of high blood pressure or acid reflux. Women who are pregnant should stay at least 20 feet away from the radio speaker and should avoid listening to the show for more than 2 hours at any one time. The Ron Van Dam t-shirts should never be worn in conjunction with the Ron Van Dam pants, unless it is after Memorial Day or before Labor Day. But even then, please refrain from loud conversation as this may be disruptive to others nearby who are trying to listen to this program. Your enjoyment of the program may vary. It may vary greatly. Please enjoy the show.
Well, that even sounded a little intimidating, you know? You know what I say? All right, ladies and gentlemen, let's get the show started. I like this to be an educational program as well as an entertainment program. Again, if you look in the upper right-hand corner of your screen, if you're on a screen or a phone, whatever platform you may be on at this time, you'll see the letters E and then a slash and then the letter I. That means entertainment and information. That's what this show is all about. So I always tell the kids to get out of the room when I'm doing this show, and I say the same thing today. This is education for adults because it's time for this.
Ladies and gentlemen, please prepare yourselves. It is that time again for Ron's Fact of the Day.
Hold on, kids. This is like a roller coaster with that's going off the rails, baby. I'm going to give you three facts that will blow your mind. And if something happens to you physically because your mind has, like, literally been blown and there's no lawsuit, you're entering this realm of information strictly on your own. You're giving me permission. Here we go. Do you like honey? Oh, man, it's fantastic. We even call each other honey, don't we? Well, that's how much we call people affectionate names that have a lot to do with diabetes. Have you ever noticed that? We call our loving little mate person, we call him or her honey. Honey, will you get the phone, please? Honey, can you pick up a head of lettuce, honey? Honey, would you stop doing that? It's annoying, honey. And as if that wasn't bad enough, we call them other names. Oh, sweetie, would you please get me a box of raisins on your way home? Honey, can you please, like, vacuum the rug today? You said you were going to do it, honey. Sweetie. Oh, sweetie. Yeah, we love those kinds of. Yes, we do. Oh, sugar pie. Something, by the way, you should never eat. I don't even know what a sugar pie is. I've never seen a sugar pie, but I know immediately upon digestion it would kill me. We love these words that describe people in diabetic fashion. Well, honey itself, the actual honey, which I think is made from bees. I think it takes a freaking hell of a lot of bees to make a jar of honey. I think so. I don't know. I've never seen honey being made. What do you do? Squeeze the bee real hard? I guess you start squeezing bees. You better wear gloves. Honey does not spoil. It is one of the rare foods, quote-unquote foods, in our society that just doesn't spoil. It'll change into various forms and consistencies, but it will not spoil. You could feasibly eat 3,000-year-old honey. 3,000-year-old honey. You could conceivably eat it. It's not conceivable because you'd be dead. So you can't, really. Although, what if you were in your backyard and you were putting in a bush or something, which we all do every once in a while. And you're digging, and you come across something. Go, oh, sweetie, honey. I think I've hit a pipe or oil or something, or maybe a treasure chest. We'll dig it up, sweetie pie. And you dig it up, and it's a jar of honey. And you're looking at the expiration date. It expired. It never expired. There's no expiration date on honey. But it says on the label, 3,000-year-old honey. It was manufactured 3,000 years ago. I'm not eating it. I'm sorry. I'm not eating it. Come on. It's 3,000-year-old honey. It never spoils. No, thank you. I'll pass on that. Because guess what? They got honey that they made last week. I'll have that. All right. That's fact number one. You can tell your kids about that. Honey does not expire. Okay. Number two. Cleopatra lived closer in time to the moon landing than to the construction of the Great Pyramid of Giza, whatever. The pyramids, listen to this. This is historic and factual. During this segment, I'm only talking fact and truth. Otherwise, I'm a ball of crap. The Great Pyramids were constructed in 2570 BC. That's before Christ. How we gauge time based on Christ, I don't know, but we do. Oh, God. So 2570, 2,570 years before Christ was even born. That's when the pyramids were built. Did you know things went that far back in time? I didn't. Well, I did, but I'm playing stupid. Cleopatra lived in 30 BC, 30 years before Christ. She probably knew him. She probably dated him, or maybe had one of his pieces of furniture in her palace. So Cleopatra, 30 BC, okay? The moon landing, 1969. So Cleopatra lived closer to the moon landing than to the construction of the pyramid, the Great Pyramids. We tend to lump everything that didn't happen a couple of years ago into, you know, things that anything before Christ was like before time even existed, before they were, you know. The other fact, is, and that's true, Cleopatra lived closer to the moon landing than she did to the construction of the pyramids. We thought that, that Cleopatra actually was there at the construction of the pyramids. She wasn't. You're about 3,000 years off, give or take a couple of decades. I know. If you watch enough television, watch enough movies, you think that the cavemen and the dinosaurs live together, especially if you're familiar with the TV cartoon, The Flintstones. But dinosaurs and human beings were never on the Earth at the same time. Now, you're probably saying, Ron, you know, what about Adam and Eve? What about them? What's your point? I'm saying, factually, human beings of any sort, cavemen of any sort, and dinosaurs never existed at the same time. It's impossible for a human to be chased down the street by a dinosaur or across the desert, whatever the case may be. Kids should know that. See, they should know these things. All right, one more fact that's going to blow your mind and your socks off your feet. Here we go. It's about giraffes, and we love giraffes because of that long neck. They just look extremely freakish, and we love animals that look extremely freakish. They're very, very tall and have very long necks. I don't know how that happened. I don't know how an animal was created by any means that you can think of where the proportions were off tremendously. Anyway. To know when to mate, and giraffes do mate, that's how you get little giraffes, baby giraffes. To know when to mate, this is incredible, by the way, a male giraffe will continuously headbutt the female giraffe in the bladder until she urinates. Oh, love. Oh, that's true love. Oh, honey, look at this. Look at this, honey. Yes, I'll repeat that for the hard of hearing. When a male giraffe wants to mate with a female giraffe, hopefully, what the male giraffe will do will headbutt the female in the bladder until she urinates. This is what my doctor actually recommended for me when I have trouble peeing. Anyway, when the female giraffe ends up urinating because she's been headbutted in the bladder by her future husband, the male giraffe then tastes the pee. All right, now we're getting weird. The male giraffe will taste her pee and will determine at that point whether the female is ovulating. I guess the male giraffe can tell by the taste of the pee whether the female is in an ovulating state, which would be Ohio. Wow. Can you imagine if that were the norm for all of us when we wanted to have children? That's weird stuff, man. Honey, sweetie. We've been trying to have children for a long time, and I spoke to our doctor, and here's, I got to tell you, you're the most important woman to me in my life. And I want to have children with you. So if you'll just stand there for a minute, what I'm going to do is I'm going to headbutt you in the bladder for a long period of time.
But why would you do something like that?
I'm going to make you pee.
I don't have to pee.
You will after I headbutt you for an hour in the bladder.
Ugh.
And then that's going to make you pee. I want you to pee in a cup. And
what are you going to do with that? Send it to the doctor to see if I'm ovulating?
Well, that would be one way, but there's a quicker way to do that.
What's that? Stick one of those little pregnancy sticks in it to see if I'm ovulating?
Well, first of all, that wouldn't tell me that, but no. What I'm going to do is I'm going to drink some of your pee.
What? What are you, crazy?
Perhaps. I'm going to drink some of your pee, and I'm going to be able to tell by the taste if you're ovulating. If it's a little bitter, bitter taste, that means you're ovulating.
I didn't know that.
Oh, yes. Oh, we all, yes. All men know that. All men know that.
Wow. I love you, Dick.
Excuse me? Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, I reported a couple of days ago when I was speaking to a Mr. Shanahan on the program that through a survey done by a particular survey company, and we'll talk to that survey company on Monday's show and get some more detail on this fact, that 44% of Americans who are now in this sheltering situation drink 44% more than they did before, which is about half of all Americans are drinking more alcohol than they usually do. And they're a little concerned about it. The other half aren't concerned about it. So, yeah, that's an amazing figure. And it's also amazing that liquor stores are considered to be essential businesses. And they are. They are essential. Right now they are, more so than ever. That's an amazing fact. As a matter of fact, the liquor stores are doing all they can to keep you somewhat balanced and sane during these weird times. For example.
Hey, are you looking for wine? You got a party coming up? Or something, special occasion stuff, and you need wine? Well, you need to come on over to Jimmy's Wino-Rama and get some. I'm Jimmy. Hey, how are you? I've got all the best wine, and I have personally tried each and every one of them a number of times because I'm Jimmy. Hey, how are you? Jimmy's Wino-Rama, that's me, and it's the place to get wine. I'm an expert. We have specials this week. It's red wine, and it's like $10. Or maybe you want to be drinking Pinot Perino, it's white, chicks like it. And it's $7. So you come here. It's Jimmy's Wino-Rama. It's wine, bunch of it. I'm Jimmy, and I may have a problem, but you won't have any problem saving money on wine at Jimmy's Wino-Rama. I'm Jimmy. Hey, how are you? I think I already said that. Did I say that already? I said that already.
Okay. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we have two interviews right now. Both have to do with satisfying your mother. That sounded really wrong, didn't it? Yeah, it did. And a lot of it has to do with food, and because, you know, what else are you going to do? So, it's Mother's Day weekend, and let's get some information. We have two guests back to back. Here we go. Hello, Bonnie. How are you?
Good, Ron. Very well.
Good. Here we go. We'll talk for about 8 minutes. You're talking to the New England area. We're also national. Here we go.
Okay, great.
All right. Bonnie Taub-Dix joins us now, and thanks for being with us today.
Oh, thanks for having me here.
She's an award-winning author, Read It Before You Eat It, which is kind of fun. Mm-hmm. I love speaking to people like you because I love to cook. I consider myself a home chef. And I truly believe that everybody should learn to cook for therapy, for enjoyment, for relationships, everything. And I know you're on the same page with that.
Oh, totally, totally. And I'm kind of a recipe rebel myself. I have maybe hundreds of cookbooks, but I really just read them like novels. I just try to make things up, and I think that that's really the way that everybody should cook. But a lot of people are afraid to cook because they're afraid they're not going to get it right. But I think if you start with wholesome ingredients, then and have a little creativity, you could really have some fun in the kitchen.
You're exactly right. I've always said baking is a science, cooking is a lot of fun and creativity. You can go crazy and go in all different directions with it. But now we have a holiday coming up, and that's Mother's Day, of course. And there's going to be a lot of cooking going on because we need to do something. But that's the kind of day when the role of the mother, so to speak, and I hate to put it that way, kind of takes a back seat. You relax, we'll take care of it.
Yeah, I know that that's what my kids always did, that in the morning they would bake something for me. Like, yeah. I have my banana bread recipe is on my website in the shape of a heart-shaped pan. Mm-hmm. But actually what I think is wonderful for Mother's Day is to get the whole family involved and everybody cook together. Maybe get the kids to clean, but get the whole family to cook together. And there are so many wonderful recipes out there that are just, you know, just like sort of emit love. For example, on californiastrawberries.com, there's strawberry French toast and strawberry stuffed pancakes. And you don't have to follow the recipe exactly. You could make it your own, especially nowadays there are kind of limited ingredients at home. So just put your own signature on it. And in fact, on that website, there's also arts and crafts projects that you could do with your kids, like chocolate-dipped strawberry hearts or even strawberry roses, because it's not that easy to go to the florist and get flowers these days. Mm-hmm. So you could make strawberry roses with your kids or have your kids make them, and then when you're done, you could eat them. So then you know you're also not only making something with them, but mm-hmm. you're getting vitamin C and fiber and folate and potassium. So as a mom, I'm always happy when my kids love to eat foods that not only look beautiful, but also taste amazing and benefit them.
Yeah, there's a second step to cooking. And, you know, one is to be creative and do it yourself and use your own ingredients as opposed to all the lard and stuff that they put in food in restaurants. The second step is nutrition, to that you can be creative and eat healthy, and that's part of the fun too.
You know, what I like to say is that I like to eat foods that are multitaskers, meaning that they do a lot of things at once. So, you know, for example, strawberries, it helps to protect the skin from bruising. It keeps your gums healthy. The vitamin C helps to support a healthy immune system. But they're also delicious, and you could weave them seamlessly into so many recipes. Like even frozen strawberries, you could defrost them and heat them and use them as a topping for other fruit, or you could put them in baked goods. Beans are another example. There's fiber, there's calcium, there's protein. So I like foods that do a lot of benefits or have a lot of benefits at once.
Yeah. I mean, when we're saying cooking, we're not talking about deep frying foods and things like that necessarily. Some cultures do that, but we're not necessarily talking about that. I want to focus for just a second, if we can spend the time here, about kids getting involved in cooking meals with their parents.
It's a fascinating learning tool. There's more than just cooking and sitting down and eating what you did. There is such a discipline and creativity and self-satisfaction. It's just there's such a long laundry list of wonderful things that come out of that kind of participation.
Oh, yes, and even confidence. You know, now that my kids are grown, they love to cook. They love to shop. I even have a grandson who knows any spice jar I show him, he could name it for me. And I think that there are just so many different things. You could even involve basic skills. You could talk about fractions and math, whether it's a half a cup, a quarter of a cup. I think that there are just so many different levels when it comes to connecting in the kitchen. And these are not cooking lessons. These are life lessons. And this is something that could be your legacy in terms of what you give your children. I mean, what more can you give them than a skill that could help them stay healthy?
Correct. When I run across a person that says that they don't know how to cook, I feel like bringing them somewhere where they can get therapy. Where can I get more information, Bonnie?
You could follow me on Instagram at BonnieTabDix. My website is betterthandieting.com. Lots of recipes there. And you could go to californiastrawberries.com for some fabulous strawberry recipes and lots of nutrition information there, too.
Perfect. Bonnie, thank you so much for your time today.
Oh, thank you for having me.
Okay, bye-bye. Food Network star Jeff Morrow joins us now. He's the host of the hit show The Kitchen and, of course, the season 7 winner of Food Network star. And he's just been everywhere. He's been on the Jimmy Fallon Tonight Show, the Today Show, Good Morning America, Steve Harvey, The Talk, Rachel Ray Show. But the pinnacle of his career is today on the Ron Van Dam Show. Congratulations to you on that.
Thank you, Ron. I couldn't sleep the last 3 nights knowing that you were going to be my favorite interview this year. So thank you for having me on again. Always a pleasure.
Always a pleasure. This is working out very well so far for me. Okay, here we go. Here we go.
We'll see how we end.
Hey, you know everything about cooking and being a chef and all that stuff. And we've got what's not funny? We got the Mother's Day coming up, and I know you've got a lot of stimulating ideas for us here.
Well, you know what? This is the year we can't take our mothers out to brunch or a fancy little, you know, breakfast or gather as large groups at your house and host something. So you got to make it super special. And in our house, Mother's Day is synonymous with great eggs. And I have some great egg recipes using Eggland's Best eggs at egglandsbest.com that are so easy to execute and so different from each other that you're sure to please any mother that might be a little particular. You want to show her that you've tried a little extra harder this year.
That's all she wants. She wants you to try is all she wants.
Exactly. Listen, you can make your mom some toast and smear, some jam and margarine on it and bring it up to the bed and watch her, devour the toast in a sea of crumbs. Mm-hmm. But why not crack a beautiful, easy egg in a roasted, hollowed-out portabella, super easy to do. You get a perfect sunny-side-up egg right out of the oven. You plate it on a simple, fresh salad with some romaine and cherry tomatoes and Asiago, and you get make that to her. It's less mess than toast, guaranteed, and it's just as easy to do. And that recipe is available, too, at egglandsbest.com. And it's one of my favorites, and it's what I make it for my wife this Mother's Day. How about that?
Very nice.
Show her I love her. Even more, because what am I going to do to my, and maybe deliver some to my mom as well, of course.
Of course. that's a great, I know, it's a simple thing. Anybody can do it. It's tasty and it looks great. I mean, see, that's why you're here. That's the purpose.
You know, and it's like, I say this all the time, right? So, kids love to cook for their parents and their moms and everything, especially now when we're all just living in the kitchen, sleeping in the kitchen, thinking, breathing, feeling what we're going to eat and what we just ate.
Correct.
And it's become the great hub of the world right now. So get your kids involved, right? And there's no better way to start your kids young in the kitchen than cracking some good eggs and having them learn the fundamentals of cooking through egg cookery And the beauty of these EB eggs is they stay fresh longer than any normal eggs. And they're higher in vitamin D, 25% less saturated fat. So you know what your kids are eating, what you're giving to your mom, and, you know, is better than the rest. So have your kid, you know, start with a scrambled egg. At 6 years old, your kid will get a, you know, earn a great appreciation for the heat and the time it takes to cook.
That's a very good point. As a matter of fact, making a good scrambled egg is an art in itself. To make it just right, there are tricks. I think you know what they are. And it's that in itself is something so simple is really a craft.
It really is. And it takes repetition. It takes practice, right? It takes, you know, again, that muscle memory, if you will. And that's the beauty of eggs, right? They come by the dozen. If you mess one up, right, your scrambled egg is already broken. So you might as well make that, you know, go back in and try again. And with these EB eggs, it's, you know, we're stocking up on stuff because you don't know when you're going to be able to find the next dozen eggs.
Yeah.
At least you know they stay fresh longer, so they're not going to go bad in a week. And boom, you know, you got more, plenty more to crack. But my method for scrambled eggs, I start really low pan with just, you know, about a half a tablespoon of butter.
Yeah.
And a little salt, and that's it. And just shake that pan, move the egg, right? Feel it. Because each pan, each stove is going to react differently.
Yes. It's true. It's a timing
thing. Don't overcook the eggs. Don't over scramble the eggs. Take them off just when you think they're done, right before.
Yeah, I turn it off and I let it, I keep swirling it, but the heat is off and it cooks very gently after that because I like it loose. And it's just fantastic. And people actually notice the difference between that and going to a scuzzy restaurant. It's true.
I mean, I love my mom and her cooking growing up, but sometimes I think the age where, you know, I was like, you know, they were very, very well done to the point of, you know, crispy.
I got you.
But she'd also throw like 6 pounds of cheese in there and whatever else we had in the fridge.
Sure. Well, that's
which is always delicious.
Eggs go with everything. Actually, I actually have eggs omelets for dinner sometimes, and it's fantastic.
Nothing wrong with that. It's
no.
Breakfast for dinner, right?
Oh, why not, man? A salad and an omelet? Come on. Absolutely.
Well, so you should enter your favorite omelet in this contest we're doing for America's Best Family Recipe.
Yes.
And you can go to americasbestrecipe.com to enter whatever you're feeling, whatever your family best egg-based recipe is. You enter it for a chance to win $10,000.
Okay, that's America's
Recipe of Eggland's Best. So
again, the website.
Why not?
The website again?
americasbestrecipe.com.
Perfect. We're running short of time. My eggs are almost done, so I have to run.
Hey, now.
Have a it's a euphemism. Have a wonderful holiday, and best to everybody. And Jeff, good speaking to you again.
You too, Ron. Thanks so much.
Take care. Bye-bye. And there you have it for today. Thank you so much for participating in this survey. Wrong script. Here we go. Thank you so much for listening to the show today. It's been wonderful to have you here again. I'll be back again on Monday as we do this every single weekday, a brand new show. I hope you join me then. Until that time comes, take care of yourself. I wish you peace.